Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN and NPR Music. I'm David Dye. The Carolina Chocolate Drops join us today. The band formed in North Carolina after meeting at a 2005 gathering of black banjo players and includes Rhiannon Gidden and Justin Robinson, who both hail from North Carolina, the Piedmont region, and Dom Flemons, who is a native of Arizona. The material they perform covers a wide swath, but tries to keep banjo and fiddle music traditions from the North Carolina Piedmont alive. Their album Genuine Negro Jig comes out on Nunsetch next month. When the trio set up in our studio, I asked Rhiannon Giddens about the importance of live performance to the band.
Yeah, we never want to sound just like a recording, because that's what the recording's for. I mean, you want to hear that, put it on, and it's great. But if you want to hear a live show, then we feel like we need to bring who we are to it, you know. So us plus the past plus looking forward equals what we're doing now, you know, if that makes sense.
Well, since you started in 2005, have you noticed that old-timey music is more of it around?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, yeah, there's... The thing is, like, it's just a matter of what gets out in the public, what the mm-hmm. public knows about. There's been, you know, the children of a lot of the revivalists who came down to the South into the mountains learning this stuff, they've grown up and have started their own bands. You know, there's bands like Crooked Still out there. There's bands like Old Crow Medicine Show. I mean, there's been lots of people doing this, just kind of sometimes slightly above the radar, and a lot of times right below it, you know. And what all of our jobs is to get it out into the open more so that people know this music is here. It's around, and you know, you can go to your local fiddlers convention and enjoy this, and you can, you know, get these records and hear this. You know, you have more options than just what's on the radio, you know, on the pop stations.
And then also, you know, on a racial level, just, you know, being black Americans, there's a redefinition there. You know, now black people are now, you know, you can do stuff, you know, people are becoming educated there. You know, you have choices, and folks are doing that. You know, there are musical acts like Black Joe Lewis, for example. He's a younger black guy, and he's playing, to me, it sounds kind of like Creedence Clearwater Revival sort of rock, you know, and there are a lot of people like that are starting to come out of the woodwork, you know, even like Sharon Jones, for example. She's a little bit older, but she's coming out, and she's coming with a retro style that takes the old stuff and takes it into the future. And it's, you know, we're just a part of that.
Part of the black community actually being interested in its own musical past, you know, rather than all the other communities coming in and going, oh, that's really interesting, let's do that. You know, there's so many British singers now getting into 60s, you know, black 60s vocal styles, you know, and it's like, well, that's great, but it'd be nice if we got into it ourselves, you know. And
right.
I think we're seeing more and more of that, because we're suddenly realizing, you know, there's a whole bunch of good stuff back there, and we should stop complaining about other people taking it and just go back and have it ourselves as well, you know?
Are you seeing it at your shows? I'm going to express this right. Sometimes there's kind of an intellectual curiosity about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're also doing is putting on a really fun show. And are people coming to it for both reasons?
Yes.
Yes.
Good.
And you're seeing people who know a lot about the music who come, but you're seeing more and more now just young folk who want to come dance, and they like the different instruments, and they're just having a good time. And we're happy to cater to everyone, because that's our job first, is to entertain.
That's right.
And then people can walk away with a bit of history, and maybe not even walk away with history, but walk away with the desire to learn more. We're happy.
Because it's all about exposure. You know, a lot of times they write up that, you know, we're looking to educate as well as entertain, which is, I guess, you know, abstractly, yes, that's what we're going to do. But we're here to entertain and create just some awareness. It doesn't need to, you don't need to come with a notebook and write notes. You just, if you hear something you like, take away with what you will, and hopefully you had a good time.
Well, when you look at the American history of string band music, a lot of people focus on Appalachia, and a lot of that music is very fiddle-based, it's usually see the bands as white bands. You guys are from the Piedmont in North Carolina, and maybe explain people what the difference, I'm sure you've explained this more than once, what the difference in the traditions are.
Well, they spring from the same roots, the same folks were on the Appalachians, the Piedmont, and the coast. as far as, you know, culturally wise. But in the Piedmont, banjos just happened to be more prevalent, probably because of the demographics. There are lots more African Americans living in the Piedmont than there would have been in the mountains. So, I mean, there are some differences in that way.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the study, most of the time they focus on guitar players, and there's a lot of the same sort of beat. It's the same root that, you know, spawned like John Jackson and Etta Baker and Blind Blake and people like that as well.
Well, that's what I kind of know about is Piedmont blues and the way that sounds, and that is guitar based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and as you say, a specific kind of sound. How did you guys get together? I understand there was a black banjo gathering in 2005. Was that where you met? Mm-hmm. Or
mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it was in Boone, North Carolina, in April of 2005, and that's where we all ended up. I met Dom and I met Justin, and then the three of us got together later. But that's where we all met, but also kind of, we were all fired up in our own ways, but even more, you know. Mm. it connected us to some elders like Joe Thompson and Aljamain Hinton. And it was just kind of this real vortex of music and history that inspired a lot of people.
Well, something funny, a recent release was a Bella Fleck release, Throw Down Your Heart, in an album and a film. And he had just come from that trip. And he didn't perform at the Black Banjo Gathering, but he came just to support. And so that was where, I don't know if Justin got to meet him, but that was where I know Rena and I at least got to meet him. And he was just talking about this trip that he had taken to Africa. And it's interesting to see now, 5 years later, it's come out. It was like I hate to use the term, a Woodstock of black banjo playing. Like it, you know, it made its way by that one time, and it really came off and influenced a lot of different people.
Yeah.
Now, I know there's gonna be a lot of instrument switching today, but do you all at one time or another play banjo?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe start off with something that I know your repertoire is. A lot of different types of music are in there. You want to start off with something that maybe people would recognize as more traditional?
Well, absolutely. Let's hit Don't Get Trouble in Your Mind.
Trouble in your mind, don't get
Trouble in Mind, the Carolina Chaka Drops playing live for us today. Justin Robinson, Rhiannon Giddens, and Dom Flemons live in the Cafe Studios. The album is called Genuine Negro Jig because, well, for I'm sure for a number of reasons, I would like to hear more about that. But one of the reasons is there is a jig on here called Snowden's Jig, mm-hmm. which well, that was the original, that was the title, the sheet music title of it, or that was the, what it was called?
The sheet music title was Genuine Negro Jig. So you're getting the actual sheet music title in the
well,
title
actually,
of the album.
It's not even sheet music, it's a manuscript that's not been published yet. So that was, well, we can get into the story of that, but it, I mean, that's a whole story. But yeah. and it's not a jig in that, I know a lot of people may think it might be an Irish jig, you know, 6/8, but back then jig just meant it was a dance tune.
Oh, okay.
But necessarily in 6/8.
But whatever it may be. Well, it's interesting. The word Negro is very much in the news right now.
Yes, it is.
Harry Reid having used it to describe the president's not having that accent, which brings up the whole point of stereotypes of what black culture is. Mm-hmm. And that seems to be at least a part of what you guys are about, because this is, you know, this is not the music that you would stereotype as black African-American music.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
yet it is.
You can't look as we do and play this kind of music and avoid the topic of race. I mean, you just can't. You know, we'd love to just be a string band, but you know, that's never going to happen. And in some ways that's okay, because we've learned more about our own history by playing this music, and that's always a very positive thing. So, you know, conversations are good to be having about this stuff, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was just looking at an article on NPR's website. There's a book that just came out on a new slave narrative, and the discussion that happened was talking about how there's a new generation of black Americans that are not, I wouldn't say just embracing, but they're actually, you know, critically looking at the black history in that very dark area of the antebellum and the Reconstruction up until civil rights, because usually a lot of black history focus on civil rights mm-hmm. to now, and just trying to piece together some of that stuff that came before.
You can never understand the civil rights era until you look at the stuff that came before it. I mean, it's impossible.
The stuff that came after the war,
yeah.
as well,
mm-hmm.
and all that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, can you do a condensed version of the story of Snowden's Jake?
I could get that. A condensed one, because she does it so much, it'll end up.
I can give you a condensed version, but go ahead, Dom.
Well, we were in New York, Pennsylvania. Bob Winans and Greg Adams, who are two banjo scars, they showed Rhiannon this tune, and then they passed her the notes. She learned it. We put it into the band, and then a few months later, we were in Ohio, around where Dan Emmett was from, and ran into Howard and Judith Sachs, who wrote a book called Way Up North in Dixie, and they showed us a little bit more of the history around that tune with the Snowden family, who was a black string band family from Maryland that moved over to Ohio. And so that's pretty much it. It's,
well, there's an important piece, though, is that the tune was written down by Dan Emmett, and that's the connection to the Snowden family, and then, you know, that the tune itself may have come from the Snowden family, but also that they may have taught him Dixie. I mean, there's a whole big old issue around there, which is what's in the book Way Up North in Dixie. But it's important, I think, to say that Dan Emmett wrote it down, because that just, there's this crossroads of American history and all sorts of things there, you know?
Well, the issue may well be that Dixie came from an African-American writer.
Right.
Yes. I mean, possibly. Yeah. You know, it's another one of those things where you have, you know, it's either attributed to, they could have played it together, you know.
It's known as the issue in the town, in that mm-hmm. town. A lot of people are on one side or the other. And there's actually a gravestone for the two eldest of the family that says they taught Dan Emmett Dixie, or they taught Dixie to Dan Emmett, you know. And so it's a very contentious issue there. And so we don't come out and say one or the other. We just say, go read the book. Here, there's evidence here, but this is a great tune, and, you know.
And then, and this tune from the same tradition, same place. So this is Snowden's Jig. Mm-hmm.
Snowden's Jig, Carolina Chaka Drops, playing for us today, and that's Rhiannon Giddens on the fiddle, and Justin Robinson, a human drum kit, I guess the only way to put it, and Dom Flemons playing the bones on that. You know, I'm sitting here listening to that and realizing that if I were listening to the radio and just heard that come out of the radio, you would not have any idea what tradition that piece of music was from. It could have been from a number of places around the globe. Yeah. Very cool. Rhiannon, you're credited with the arrangement. And Rhiannon, you're also responsible for bringing Hit 'Em Up Style to the group, which comes from somewhere completely different.
It just was all over the radio. Everybody had heard it, you know, and it was just one of those that had just stuck in my brain. And no matter who brings it to the group, we all have an active part in arranging all of the tunes. Like, this one didn't click until I had figured out the part on the fiddle, and then Dom started playing the awesome beat on the banjo like he does it now. It hasn't really changed that much. And then none of us knew that Justin could beatbox, and it was just like, then it clicked. It was awesome. So, I mean, that's the way a lot of our songs happen, you know, no matter who brings it.
Well, if you know the Blue Cantrell tune, you know this. But if you haven't, this is the definitive version thereof.
When you go, then everything goes from the crypt to the
That's Carolina Chocolate Drops. That's Hit 'Em Up Style, that cover of the Blue Cantrell tune. They're our guests today. I'm David Dye, World Cafe Words and Music from WXPN, and NPR Music is produced at WXPN in Philadelphia at xpn.org. Thank you very much for spending your time with the World Cafe.